What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Rossler and Derek Ambrosen from the Dynasty Builders Podcast, part of the DLF family of podcasts.
Each week, we use film analysis, rookie breakdowns, ADP, analytic tools,
and a dose of humor
to ensure that you get actionable and practical advice from each and every episode to help you build a dynasty.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pie. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Josh at Real Fantasy TL. I also have one of those trading problems.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 185 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, member of the DLF family of podcasts. Also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we all did, because we all members of the DAP Network, baby. Yeah. Oh, what a shit week. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
there's no sugarcoating this. Like, and it's going right into today. Like, I want to walk you through the past, like, I'm getting ready to set this stuff up to come down here. And I was completely lazy today, and I didn't set up the show sheet at all. And I'm like, all right, hon, I'm going to go downstairs. My son walks into my bedroom. He's like, look, daddy, I pulled my tooth out. I'm just like, I don't have money. What? I mean, the tooth fairy don't, like, what? So instead of coming down here and getting myself ready and typing up the spreadsheet in a nice leisurely manner, I had to scour the house for a couple of bucks. I had to take money out of my freaking daughter's bank.
I never carry cash.
I mean, I have a couple of 20s that I took from Rocky when we met up and I paid on my credit card. Like, that's all I have. And I am not giving my kid a goddamn 20 for pulling his tooth out. I mean, let's just... Not in this economy. I mean, come on. Like,
inflation's a bitch, Russ.
If he had less teeth and we were talking supply and demand, maybe. But like 9 o'clock at night, really, man? Like, oh, come on. And it's really funny. I was reading on Facebook something very similar that happened where a guy was posting that his son was, you know, pretty much pulled an experiment on them where he didn't tell anyone, put a tooth under his pillow, and 3 days later, the tooth was still there. And he walks into his parents. He was like, look, I knew the tooth fairy was fake. My tooth had been on there for 3 days. And I said, really funny story. Something very similar almost happened where my son woke up in the middle of the night and it was like 1 a.m. and I just happened to still be awake. And he comes in. He's like, daddy, my tooth is still here. Where's the tooth fairy? Why didn't the tooth fairy come? And he was like getting worked up about it. I'm like, buddy, calm down. Parents contact the tooth fairy right before they go to sleep. And you see, I'm still awake. So the tooth fairy just hasn't come yet. So I'm like, that's what you got to do. You just tell them, look, how do you think the tooth fairy knows to come? You tell your parents. Parents tell the tooth fairy. I felt so damn smooth where I'm just like, hey, yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so that's like the definition of this week. You know, it's like, well, first of all, it was freaking awesome to meet these two gentlemen on the screen in person. Like, I've known both of you for what seems like 4 years at this point, I think it is.
Yep.
And finally, like, you live literally an hour away. It took me 52 minutes to get to the Buffalo Wild Wings we met up at. And yeah, So, you know, big my bad on being an insanely lazy person and not wanting to meet you people before now. So you guys guilted me enough finally that I just went and did it.
Yeah, so much fun, though, especially you're bitching all day about what we're going to talk about tonight probably, about the crap that was going down all over the NFL, especially in those 1 o'clock games.
I told Russ, I think we're all to blame. I think all of our collective power being in one place at one time just screwed over the entire NFL pretty much. So
we upset the balance.
Yeah.
But you know, there's some a-hole somewhere that won like the Millie Maker by having Malik Turner and
Olamide
in his lineup. Left like $20,000 on his bench. Just, you know,
yeah,
didn't spend more than $600 on a player. Like, you know, 2 weeks ago was Bimageddon, you know, like 18 teams were on a bye and we're freaking out. And honestly, it was a weird week, but it wasn't that terrible. Last week felt like a weird week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then there was this week. So what's next week going to be? That's what I'm like,
who knows?
Terrified about
now. We're all going to stabilize. That's what I keep saying. We're going to stabilize. Everyone's going to go back to normal.
All the studs are going to go off.
Anderson will get back to scoring 0.1 points a game. We'll be happy with the world. I think
between now and Sunday, I might have to take up meditation or something. I don't know. Like,
you know what's funny? I had a lot of low scores, but I seem to be on the right side of a lot of them. This week actually wasn't that bad for me in terms of wins and losses. In terms of scoring points, it wasn't great.
I had a lot of weird ones, a lot of backs and forths. All I know is, and I'm terrified to look, I need 20 points out of Najee to affect like four leagues. And I know he scored a touchdown early in the game, but I have no idea what he did otherwise. And I honestly don't want to know because I can't handle that right now. Like, my nerves are so damn on edge at this point.
I can tell you he does not have 20 points yet.
Motherfucker. All right. Well, it is what? Yeah. All right. Let's.
Meditation.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So Josh has been on the show before. He's by no means a stranger, but it's been a long time. You are a DAP member, brother, but why don't you let everyone know just how good the fantasy timeline is, where they can find it, when they could find it, and all that good stuff.
All right. So Fantasy Timeline, it is an awesome show, but not because of me, because I have two great co-hosts, Bill McCarthy at Super Dupa Flex and Drew at DR_PRA. Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, we just take what we see on Twitter. I mean, if we were going to do the show today, it would be all Pat Freiermuth and Matt Nagy. But we scour it during the week. We try to pick up, like, what's going on? What's the pulse? What are people talking about? And we just try to give a little information out there. Maybe every once in a while we'll talk about trades. We'll do some start sits. So we pull it. We put it on YouTube. We're live on YouTube. So if you are already following these fine fellows at the Trade Addicts, you will get us too if you're following the DAP Network on YouTube. So do that and hit the bell so you know when not only we go live, but Rocky and Russ go live on YouTube. And it's just a good time. We take listener or I guess viewer questions because it's YouTube. The chat is usually a lot of fun. They throw stuff out there. They're trying to pick our brains. So it's just a good time. So on here on YouTube, 9 o'clock on Wednesday Eastern. Come on by.
All right. And if you do subscribe to the DAP Network, podcast stream, you'll get them there as well. If you're like me and just never remember to do anything after work because you're just so freaking tired, and to have a wife and kids that don't let you sit and do anything you want after work.
That's me.
Yeah, same.
I always like, I'm going to do it this week. And even like they had their, what was it, your 100th episode recently?
100. Yeah.
And like, I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in. And I got in like 3 minutes before you signed off. I'm like, I made it. I don't care.
You did it. You did it, man. You came in and it was
just at the last second. That's like the earliest I could have gotten there too.
It was awesome.
All right. So let's try and absorb a little bit of the news that happened this week. We're not going to talk about actually, I don't even know what the hell we're going to talk about. See, look at this. I'm just like broken. I went to NBC Sports Edge on the NFL headlines and took some things to talk about, because if I tried to actually think of what to talk about after this past week, it would have been a lot of stammering like I was doing a second ago. It would not go well. But there's actually a lot of decent news, which was actually extremely surprising. I mean, Chase Edmonds has a high ankle sprain. He's going to end up on the short-term IR, which it seems like everyone just, you're going to miss the game, short-term IR, no biggie. Like, this is apparently rule was in place last year, and this did not happen last year. I don't know if, people didn't know about it in the league, which seems super weird, but now it's just everywhere. It's like, oh, nope, you sneeze too hard? Okay, 3 weeks.
Yeah. It happened a few times, but not to this extent. Maybe that extra game is making teams more willing to let's just give you 3 weeks of a break and then you can come back and then yeah.
Well, I think teams too were dealing with all the COVID stuff and trying to figure that all out. That now that things have calmed down a little bit, maybe they're using this rule more to their advantage than they did last year, because they had a lot of other things to figure out during the 2020 season.
Super fair. All right. So like Chase Edmonds specifically, I've liked Chase Edmonds this year in fantasy. He hasn't been a league winner, a week winner, even by any stretch of the imagination, but he was always super solid. He got a lot of very good usage and he was the PPR back. He was the pass catching back. James Conner took the touchdowns and everything, but are we okay? Besides the wonderful story of in Dynasty HQ 1 Listener League, someone going and spamming every single league trying to get a first plus for James Conner, but accidentally clicks Nick Chubb when sending it to Josh. Are you actually looking to go take on Conner for the next few weeks? Because assuming Kyler comes back, assuming Hopkins comes back, that offense is 80-90% of what it could be. And then you have James Conner just back there with no one else. Like, what is Eno Benjamin finally going to play? Like, nothing there that's really going to challenge him for work. Are you guys going to try and go out of your way to acquire any Conner?
I mean, go out of my way? No. I mean,
not like you're not going to like go to every single league you're competing in and try and send an offer in. But let's say you have an extra second lying around. Like, do you think it's worth it to send a second? Do you think it's worth it to send a first for him?
I think it's worth it to send a second, but I don't think the person that has James Conner is going to think it's worth it to accept the second, because they're either in one of two situations. They're either also a contender, and why are they giving up? You know, what does he have? 10 touchdowns yep. already? Why are they giving up a guy who literally gets a touchdown every week? I mean, it's just James Conner touchdown. And if they're a rebuilder, they, and I don't know if it's rightly so, but they believe that this guy is worth a first because he should be ultra valuable to a team that's trying to go for the championship. So they're going to ask for a first. So I don't mind giving up a second to get him, but I don't think that works. I don't think a guy or a girl is going to give up James Conner if they're rebuilding for a second.
I agree with Josh. I'm not giving up a first for him, and I don't think anybody's taking a second. I actually have quite a few shares of Conner because I got him cheap prior to this. I had one league, I think, where I got him for 2/3 and 1/4 like 5 weeks ago. Yep. So, yeah, I'm probably holding on to most of those. I would even consider on a contender, if I can get that first, I would probably seriously consider moving him because, you're getting that touchdown maybe every week. It looks like it. You would think that has to eventually maybe not happen every week, but probably not for these next three where he's the only guy. So, but maybe you can turn around and get something even better with that first, when Edmonds is back in a month and you can get something for your playoff push. And Connor's not a guy you are likely depending on anyway.
Go get Nick Chubb.
There you go.
I mean, it only costs you a first and a third. I promise. Yeah.
23.
Yeah. With Connor not being a guy you were probably depending on, even if you were maybe throwing him in your lineup, maybe you use that first to get something better than Connor. So I wouldn't mind doing that even if I'm contending.
Okay, so, I mean, let's pretend you thought you were contending. We hit week 10, and you're like, you know what? I'm 4-5. My power ranking has me as, like, 8th, so it's not super playoffs. Your points four are decent. You're not going to hit that 6th seed in points. All right. I'm not going to rebuild. Let me retool. Let me get rid of a couple of things. Would you take a second for James Conner on that team?
I would at least try for 2 seconds. I don't think I would take less than 2 seconds at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Rocky hit it on the head. I think you go for 2 seconds or even a second and
a player
like Terrace Marshall or something that maybe we all love. He hasn't really been doing it, but you know, you buy into the fact that Carolina has figured out that Sam Darnold is not the answer and they go another way at the quarterback position, something like that. But yeah, 1 second is just kind of like, if he scores another touchdown for the next 3 weeks, at some point, right going into that playoff push, somebody is going to break and make that trade because they're going to try to put their team over the top to win a championship. So yeah, I'm with Rocky on that one.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm around the same place. Honestly, if it seems like it's an early second, like clearly if it's not theirs, like they just happen to have an early second, I might just do it anyway. But yeah, no, I'm with you guys. It's around that area where give me a second and some silly guy with a little bit of upside and I'll feel okay about it. You know, just that little bit of extra that just makes me happy, like fill that roster spot. The next thing, Odell Beckham got cut. Finally. And my favorite part was his agent tweeted out or was letting teams know, if you're not a contender, don't bother claiming him because he will cause issues. Like, this isn't like his friend's brother. This isn't his father's cousin's sister's former roommate. This is like his agent. Like, that's not good. Like, why? Who thought that was a good move?
Like, yeah, that's not the best way to drum up interest for your client, I don't think.
But do we not? Are we sure that his agent isn't his brother's cousin's sister's roommate? Have we verified
who that is? Fair. I have not done my research on this. I have not dug deep. I apologize to all of those father, sisters, brothers, cousins, former roommates out there. That I did not look into this. This is my bad. I apologize. It could be. I don't know. But oh my God, that was the dumbest thing I've ever read. Like, holy crap. Like, reading that, you really think a contender's going to be like, oh no, then we're going to be fine when we take him on. And then Josh made the wonderful jokes like, how often do you see people come out and say, no, we are not getting this guy? Like, there were like 3-4 coaches. Yes. That were just like, nope. And then, of course, Pete Carroll's just like, oh, maybe we're going to do it. That's just what the freaking Seahawks need. Odell freaking Beckham. Who am I kidding? I would buy that jersey so fast.
but that could also be the, hey, we'll say we'll get him, but somebody ahead of us is probably going to take him anyway, so we'll be fine. We can just at least tell the fan base that we gave it a try and it didn't work out for us.
I mean, of all the things wrong with the Seahawks, wide receiver isn't really the biggest problem. And let's face it, Odell said he wants to go to a competing team. Seahawks ain't really competing right now, so.
It sounds from what Schefter said earlier tonight that he may go unclaimed, so he may get to pick where he's going.
Yeah, I mean, chances are he's going to go unclaimed. I'm just very curious how long it'll take him to get an offer. Or how long it'll take to get an offer that he thinks is worthwhile, because I'm sure someone's going to throw vet minimum at him and he'll probably have too big of an ego to take it. Even if it is like the Chiefs, you know, he'll just, you know, think he's too good for it and we'll see what happens. But do you guys actually think, regardless of where he goes, there's fantasy impact on it?
Nope.
Not really. I've been out on Beckham for a while. One of the things I've been hearing a lot on, or seeing a lot, I guess, on Twitter is possibly New England, which would be kind of interesting.
Isn't that what we always say?
I know.
With Brady not there, they just go to New England.
But even if with it just being, you know, the old, you know, Belichick loves to take those old malcontent guys and try and, you know, straighten them up and get them to play for him. But it makes a lot of sense from a football perspective, too. They have no wide receiver one. But do you want him with your rookie quarterback if he's not throwing him the ball enough? I don't know. So maybe not so much from that perspective. But from an X's and O's perspective, I can see it. But even there, or even somewhere where it seems he'd be the clear lead target guy, I can't buy an Odell Beckham until I see multiple games of it again.
But think about it. Like, the way the Patriots play their offense, I think Odell's kind of perfect. Like, Odell's one of the few players in the league. Any slant that he catches 5 yards from the line of scrimmage can be a touchdown. That's not far off from what Mac Jones throws every single time. Like, right. Like, he's not really into the deep passes. They have a very West Coast, very quick out, you know, kind of offense, mostly because, you know, Josh is their best wide receiver at the time. So, I mean, no offense, you're a great wide receiver, but it is what it is.
I appreciate you. I will say I think Jacoby might be a little bit better than me, but that dude can't get into the end zone. So, yeah, you have
as many touchdowns in the NFL as he does. So, just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting you brought that up, Russ, because I feel like Odell the player can fit into any system.
Yeah.
Odell the person probably limits him to maybe two or three places. And, I mean, New England, I agree. I mean, do you want, you know, Odell to be in Mac's face in the locker room after a game because he only got 9 targets instead of 13? And, you know, and it's interesting you brought up Belichick and bringing in guys that were quote-unquote malcontents. If you think about the malcontents, Randy Moss just wanted to get off of the Raiders. Can't blame him at all. Corey Dillon just wanted to get away from the Bengals. Can't blame him at all. And once they got there, they were like, oh, cool, we're winning. Like, I have nothing to say. The only kind of diva, quote-unquote, that they brought in was Chad Johnson. I mean, he lasted like 6 weeks, and Bill Belichick was like, yeah, you can't pick up this offense. Your mouth is more than your talent, and you're out of here. So I don't think Odell would be a good fit in New England. And honestly, I don't know of a lot of places where he is a good fit as a person. And I don't want that drama. Maybe New Orleans, maybe he can take over for Michael Thomas doing the slant thing, but
man. I'm sure that's what they want, a diva receiver to replace Michael Thomas.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, Odell the person just doesn't fit in anywhere. And the
annoying thing is, it's like Tampa, because Arians will let him do whatever. That, like, Arians don't care. That's the thing. But besides the fact that they have enough wide
receivers. Exactly. If he went to Tampa, that would just be...
Oh, my God. Can you imagine Odell and Antonio Brown in the same place at the same time?
That's a fist fight after 3.5 minutes. Those two are... Even Antonio in a boot is trying to punch Odell in the face after the first conversation.
Think of how much money that would make on pay-per-view, though.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I would pay for it. I would buy it.
But I'd watch the you know, the clip on Twitter that's 37 seconds long. It was how long that fight would be.
But yeah, I mean, I don't care about Odell for fantasy, for dynasty, for anything. I mean, I think he can still play personally, but his just attitude is just, it is always going to lead to what happened in Cleveland. I mean, think about Cleveland. We want to talk about where could he fit in. Jarvis Landry on the other side, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They had, what, 2 or 3 decent tight ends, not all stars, but decent. And he was nothing there. He was non-existent for fantasy. I mean, are there too many more places with more talent than that? I mean, that can take away from a defense trying to scheme him. I mean, maybe he just needs to go back to the Giants. They don't have anybody anyway. Just put him there again. Let him do what he did 5 years ago.
Unrelated to anything we're talking about, there was like a piece of something, like a lint or dust on my monitor, and I went to swipe it away. My computer's a touchscreen. I had no idea.
that's
good. Only like I went and I swipe it away, and all of a sudden like the internet changed tabs. I'm like, what? Oh my god! Look at this! I'm changing things. Look at this.
Russ is a magician now.
The more you know. Oh my god!
I'm so old.
He's just gonna run upstairs after the pod, talk to his wife.
It's a touchscreen.
One of these newfangled touchscreens. When did we get this?
I was sleeping. What's wrong with you?
It's a touchscreen.
I knew that when you bought it.
She bought it.
So she definitely knew.
She knew.
Russ, I knew it when I bought it for you.
Oh man.
I've had this thing for like 6 months. I had no idea.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, I'm loving today. This is fantastic. This is great. Yeah. Next on. Okay. So here's like a bunch of like good news, which was very strange. In this coming week, Michael Gallup, Russell Wilson, and David Montgomery are all cleared to play. Gallup expected to play. Montgomery, quote unquote, will play.
Like, well, Montgomery's playing now.
Oh, it's Monday Night Football right now. Yeah. Never mind. Because they did say he'll play on Monday Night Football. I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, Monday night. He's going to play next week. Nope. It's Monday right now. It's only Monday. Okay, so cool. Like, everyone's back. That's awesome. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I still call myself a Seahawks fan, even though I don't think I've watched a game this year. Like, I've definitely flown, like, right into that I just like fantasy football. And I'll watch football because it's fun to watch territory. But it's cool. It's like having good football is good for football. So having Russell Wilson back is great, though it was gross seeing the pin out of his hand. And but Russell Wilson coming back is awesome. Does David Montgomery look good? Because I know, Rocky, you're watching the game.
Okay. He's had some nice runs. He's 12 for 51. So, yeah, not too bad with one catch. So.
I mean, first week back after IR'd for that long.
And he's clearly been the lead guy. Herbert only has 3 carries tonight.
That is actually insanely surprising and sad because Khalil Herbert was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then Michael Gallup. I mean, this is just going to – let's just jump straight into our listener questions because we have our resident Cowboys fan on here, and I jokingly threw out in the tweet saying – you know, we have again with the great game the Cowboys played this week. Let's ask Josh all of these Cowboys questions, and everyone ask Cowboys questions.
Yeah,
let's go.
let's go. All right. First is at Andrew Hall FF. I think you guys know him.
He's awesome.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody asks multiple part questions, so I'm just going to go through all of them, and then we'll take it one at a time. Will Cooper be a Cowboy next year? Is Pollard the heir apparent behind Zeke, or will they draft someone? How long till they fire McCarthy? Kidding on that last one. All right, so one at a time. Will Cooper be on the Cowboys next year, Josh? Will they pay him?
Yes. His contract is very interesting because he gets paid $20 million a year, but it's structured in a way that they can pretty much cut him at any time, and the dead cap is, like, practically nothing. So, but yes, Michael Gallup will go into free agency and probably get paid a lot of money by somebody to either be a low-end number one or a high-end number two. I don't think he's a one. I think he's much better in the number two role. But Dallas has enough money and resources tied up in the wide receiver position. Plus, they have a guy on their team right now that we have not seen play all that much that could actually go into that Michael Gallup role pretty well. Not Malik Turner. Simi Fiocco. He was their fifth round pick during this last draft. So, or they just take another guy in the second round in the 2021 draft, and they just kind of keep the good times going. But, I think Cooper stays, but I don't think Gallup will be there next year.
What about you, Rock? Do you have any... What's your hopes as an Eagles fan? Let them both walk.
Yes, exactly. Cut Cooper and let Gallup walk. That's my hopes as an Eagles fan. I don't have any special insight, and Josh would know better than me, but that would be kind of what I would have thought too, is Cooper's going to stay. I think he's probably worth what he's probably get a little overpaid, but he's a very, very good wide receiver. And I think him and CD will work well together. And I'm very interested in Gallup on a new team as well. That should be interesting.
Especially when he goes to the Chiefs or the Ravens, one or the other. So that's always the bookends, right?
Yeah.
And it always ends up being one of those.
If he goes to the Chiefs, his value will skyrocket.
Oh, jeez.
Even with them having the down, they're not having been the crazy offense they always have. Just being with Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure it'll skyrocket.
He'll be the best number two wide receiver they've had since I think I've started watching football. So.
Yeah.
You leave Jeremy Maclin out of this.
Former Eagle.
I loved Jeremy Maclin. Dwayne Bowe, baby. I'm just trying to dig up all the old wide receivers I could think of. I'm stuck after that.
He wasn't really a wide receiver, but who was that tiny little guy that returned the kicks?
Oh.
I had Dante Hall.
That's who I was thinking of.
He was, in Madden, there was no tackling that guy on kick returns. He would just touchdown every single time. That's kind of what it was in the NFL.
He
was just sick. I know, he fits in the New England Patriots. he kind of does. He's that slot receiver guy plus a little bit. I mean, it really, he can fit pretty much anywhere. I think he's just a very solid wide receiver. So I think it is going to be super interesting to find out what they do. But the thing is, I don't think it matters for the offense too much. Don't get me wrong. I really like Cooper. I think Cooper's very, very good. But I don't think it upsets the offense that much if Cooper were to leave and it were CeeDee, Gallup, and Fehoko, or Cedric Wilson steps up, or they draft someone else. Or if Gallup were to leave and it's Cooper and CeeDee and insert third person. I don't think it necessarily matters either way.
Do you think Gallup's as complete a receiver as Cooper is, though? I mean, Cooper's a great route runner.
Yeah. No. I definitely think Cooper's better, but I still don't think it changes the offense that much. I don't think that offense gets worse. I don't think it will be, even to the eye test, that different. Will it be a little not as good? Yeah, but I don't think the offense takes a step back because of it. That's kind of the reason why I think why pay $20 million for Amari when you can get 70% Gallup for 70% of the price, for less, most likely.
Let me answer that question for you. It has nothing to do with the wide receivers, and it actually has nothing to do with Jerry. I think the biggest hit to the offense in 2022 is going to be the fact that Kellen Moore is not going to be there.
You think he's getting another job?
Oh, he's gone. He's either a head coach in college or he's a head coach in the NFL. And I think that's the reason why I do want Cooper to stay, because I don't know if I can really trust Mike McCarthy to pick a good offensive coordinator. And if I have someone who's subpar at offensive coordinator, I want all of the talent I can possibly get.
That is a super fair statement.
To counteract that. So, yeah, whether Cooper is the one that's gone or Gallup is the one that's gone, I think the biggest hit is going to be Kellen Moore being gone. And that hurts me a lot.
Now, I wouldn't trust McCarthy to do just about anything, by the way.
Anything. Forgive the name, because it has a very bad connotation with it. But maybe they pull a Jason Garrett and just pay him a ton of money to stay on as offensive coordinator until in 3 years when he becomes the coach. Because, remember, they did that to Jason Garrett. Garrett was almost making head coach money being the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys, because they knew he was being groomed. He was going to get the job. Just for the past 20 years, we've been saying Josh McDaniels is being groomed just to take over for Belichick when he retires.
I mean, if that's the case, I would love it. Pay him whatever he asks you to pay him, and let Mike McCarthy know that, listen, this is the guy who's taking your job. We don't really care if you like it or not. It's what's going to happen. But unfortunately, I still think he's gone. I still think someone next year. The Bears are going to have an interesting opening with Justin Fields at quarterback. The Panthers, or not the Panthers. I was thinking of Sam Darnold for some reason as a bad quarterback who needs help.
That jumps to the front of your mind. I get it.
Yeah. when I think of bad quarterbacks, Sam Darnold does jump to the front of my mind.
The Eagles could have an opening.
The Eagles could have an opening. As funny as that sounds, I mean, Nick Sirianni has been a weird cat.
Yes.
Houston maybe actually tries to put together a competitive team. And
I'd love to see the Jaguars one and out Urban.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be that would be amazing for Trevor Lawrence's career.
Doubt it happens, but it'd be fun to watch.
There's between 6 and 8 openings every year. And I have a feeling that Kellen Moore is going to get offered one of them. And I would be a sad person on that day. I was happy when Jason Garrett left, but I was I will be very, very sad when Kellen Moore is no longer with the team.
Oh, by the way, fun story. I went to check Twitter to see if you got any more listener questions, and I see our lovely homeboy Jerry from the Trade Addicts Pod at Trade Addicts Pod Twitter account. Why watch the boring Bears Steelers game when you can tune into us live? Apparently, I left this as public. So hey, if you're anyone watching is bored, my bad. Whoops. So we're live right now. Hey,
let's go.
I super cursed before, by the way. So let's get to the next part of this question. Is Pollard the heir apparent behind Zeke? Now, I remember like the beginning of the season, we were worried that Pollard was taking over already. And while he's still getting his touches, he's still seeing the ball, he doesn't seem to be doing as much with it lately as he was in the beginning of the season. Is there a chance that Pollard, you think, will be that guy in when is Zeke done?
I mean, that's going to say, when can they get out from Zeke?
I think it's still another year or two before they can actually have a cap.
They just
number.
Paid him last year, right? So there's probably a couple of years before they're out.
2 years ago, because Dak got paid last year. Zeke got paid the year before that. So I think it's another year or two before it's a cap number that doesn't kill them. However, Jerry loves Zeke. So, I mean, he could get offered another contract tomorrow for all we know. But no, Pollard's not the heir apparent. I think, and again, this falls back on Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore understands what Tony Pollard is. He is a great complimentary back. He is a great guy to spell Zeke when he gets tired or just bring him in for gadget stuff. He's great in the pass game. But Tony Pollard as a 15, 18 touch a game running back is not what you want. He's not going to be Zeke. He would never be Zeke. If anything, if Zeke were to go, if they cut him when they were able to, and Tony Pollard was the only guy there, they would use high draft capital or pay a free agent to come in and do the same thing, split the backfield with Tony Pollard and run the offense like that. Now, if Mike McCarthy is in charge, who knows, maybe he thinks Tony Pollard is the best thing ever and we try that and it fails. But logically, he should not be the heir apparent to Zeke Elliott.
I think Josh said it pretty well there. I just was going to add that, I think probably his ceiling is like Chase Edmonds, who gets maybe nothing better than a James Conner type brought in, and he can be, you know, high end RB2 with passing work just because there's no Zeke type there. But I agree with Josh. I don't think he's ever going to be like, you know, oh, he's my RB, he's a locked in RB1 for me or anything like that.
Well, all I will say is I hope for you and Cowboys fandom that they do not spend another top 5 pick on a running back.
Listen, we do those things. I cannot promise you we will never do those things again because that would be foolish on my part.
It would be.
I've just learned to find the goodness in the things that the Cowboys do, and Zeke Elliott's been an elite player. That is a very high draft pick, but I just have to be thankful that it wasn't a Leonard Fournette type deal where the first 3 years of his career were kind of marred by all kinds of stuff and he didn't have the play to back that up.
Yes, because it was marred by that kind of stuff, but he had to play it back.
Right. That's why I wanted to throw that caveat in there that, you know, there was the play to back it up because we all, as we all know, Zeke Elliott will be Zeke Elliott sometimes. Even though the last couple of years he's been relatively quiet, which is nice for a change. But yeah, I mean, and I just looked up Zeke's contract as we were talking. The first out is after next season, but it's still a dead cap of $11.8 million. That's when it dips below a dead cap of $30 million. So that's the first year that's not a $30 million dead cap if they would release them. After the 2023 season, it ends up being a $6 million cap hit. So if he falls off over the next 2 or 3 years, they can find some relief. But yeah, it's going to be a little bit before that number isn't insane to cut them. So yeah, Tony Pollard will probably be gone before Zeke is, unfortunately.
All right, so let's move on to the next question at noob engineer underscore. Well, his first part of the question is what we've answered already. What do you think will happen with Cooper this offseason? The narrative when Lamb was drafted was Cooper might be dropped in 22 and it will be the Lamb and Gallup show. Now that Gallup wasn't extended, do you think Cooper will be there long term? How does this affect Lamb? Now, the reason I didn't just like combine this and say, hey, these two people asked this question is we didn't really bring Lamb into the discussion at all. Do you think Cooper or Gallup are good enough to affect CeeDee Lamb at this point? That's how I'm framing this question. Because to me, CeeDee Lamb is the best receiver out of the three of them, and I don't think it's super close anymore. Do you think either of them, or even if both of them were to be around, we would say it's a bad thing for CeeDee Lamb?
No.
Yeah, I agree. No.
Yeah. I mean, we watch, I mean, if we're watching the games and we're watching the offense, they do everything with CeeDee Lamb. Put on the outside. Okay, cool. Put him in the slot. Okay, cool. Hey, we're going to do an end around. Oh, it's CeeDee Lamb. Cool. I mean, he might be the heir apparent to Ezekiel Elliott for all we know. I mean, the guy the guy does everything on that team. So, I mean, yeah, I love him. I agree with Russ. He is the best wide receiver on that team. And I'm talking right now. I'm not talking in 2 or 3 years. Right now, CeeDee Lamb is the best wide receiver on that team. And he's just getting better. I mean, and that's why you can ask the previous question, like who stays and who goes. Does Cooper stay? Does Gallup stay? Who goes? Because CeeDee Lamb is the constant and he is going to play through his 5 years, you know, barring a major injury. And then he's going to get a, you know, a massive contract because that's what Dallas does. And he's going to be there for another 5 years. So, I don't see either one of those guys affecting anything that CD does or can do in the future.
I agree with both of you. He's the best of the three. And I also wanted to throw in there, I think as a community, we love to see guys leave and say, oh, this guy's now going to get 150 targets. But I think we underestimate as a whole, like, what having good players on your offense does for everyone. Like, you have a Cooper and a Gallup and a Zeke and a Pollard, you're getting more first downs, getting more touchdown opportunities. So, and being the most talented guy there, that's going to benefit him the most. So, yeah, I'm with you too.
Are you guys at the point where CeeDee Lamb is a top three wide receiver dynasty for you? Because what I see right now is pretty much Chase, Jefferson, and Lamb in any given order. Like, is that your three pretty much at this point? Josh is nodding his head yes.
I would also include AJ Brown in there, so I'm not sure what order I'd put them in, but I have him up with those three.
The only reason I don't is health, just because give me a season where I like to say give me a season or two, give me a season and a half. No. For AJ Brown, I like him so much. I will say, give me a season where he doesn't miss a game because of his hamstring, and boom, he's my wide receiver one. That's just how much I like him. But
I agree, he's just so it hasn't talented. I guess I'm not holding the injuries against him as much as you guys are.
But yeah, it's we have like this age gap in the top tier where it was Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, you know, Michael Thomas for a little bit, but they're all at that time where the community's just like, wait, what? He's going to be 30 within the next 3 years? Dead. You know, because they're all around the 28 area. And especially, I mean, Adams with the Rodgers stuff and all of that. Yeah, you kind of do have to dock him a little bit. The Kansas City offense is being super weird right now, and they need to knock this the hell off. So I think those three are the top three, in which case it don't matter. Let CeeDee Lamb be CeeDee Lamb. And like Rocky made the great point where good fantasy assets come from better offenses. I mean, it's fun to have guys like Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson in like 2016, where it was just funny that, like, oh no, it's the end of the third quarter and Allen Robinson has 2.6 points. Oh, he ended the game with 37. I mean, yeah, it's fun, but that's not the way it's supposed to go. That's not how you really want it to go necessarily, because it's not super dependable, even though it super was, which was why it was so fun. That's why Blake Bortles was such a good joke. But that in The Good Place, but like, good offense makes for good fantasy. So I completely agree with everything you guys are saying. I think we also answered the next part of his question. Side note, as someone who has seen Gallup more than most of us, is he a target to acquire before free agency? What would you give in terms of pick value? I guess we didn't get to that last one. Let's say we are in the camp, which both of you have said you are, of Amari sticking around, Michael Gallup going, and you say, maybe he's going to go to the Chiefs and he's going to get that skyrocketed value. Let me try and get him before that happens. Rocky, what are you sending right now to go acquire Michael Gallup?
Oh, I'd give a high second. I think there's no way I think no matter what, he's at least going to be worth a high second. If he moves on somewhere else, it's not going to be worse than that. And there's a definite chance it could be a first. If he goes to a good offense where he looks like at least the two, even not even the one, I think he could be worth a first, depending on where, like I said, if he goes to the Chiefs, he's easily worth a first. In the non-point scoring season. So I just don't see many places he would go. I guess maybe if he even if he stays in Dallas, I don't think he's worth less than a mid two. So you're not, what are you risking? So, I mean, I would easily give a high two. I don't think there's any way you can give a first at this point, but high two for sure.
So what I'm hearing is you send James Conner for Michael Gallup.
Oh yeah, I would do that.
Bringing it back. There you go.
Rocky read my mind. I was thinking high second when I read this question. Unfortunately, I think your best part of the bye window was like a couple of weeks ago, because he's going to be back. And I almost think he's insulated in a way, because if he stinks, we're going to say, well, it was the injury. He was working his way back. You know, we've seen a lot of goodness, fantasy goodness from Michael Gallup in the past, and now he's going to go somewhere else and it's going to be great, because that's what we always think about free agents. The new place is going to be great. They're going to be great. They're going to be better than we can even imagine. And if he is good once he gets back, like, whoa, look what he did with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. Imagine if he goes to Jacksonville and his competition is Marvin Jones and LaVisca Chenault. Oh, he's going to blow up. So
you dismiss wide receiver one, Jamal Agnew.
Listen, he's my boy. I got him in HQ1. So he's my boy, Blue. But, you know, so he has, I think his value is insulated in a way, because no matter what happens for the rest of this season, we are either going to build on what Michael Gallup has already done, or just look back to what he's done over his career pretty much and go, man, he's really good. Wait till he is in, you know, an offense where he doesn't have to contend with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. And hey, we'll even throw Schultz in there. Why not Dalton Schultz?
Malik Turner.
And Malik Turner season, baby. We saw it starting.
We'll forget this guy's name next week, but for now, we're saying it every chance we can.
We were together when Malik Turner season started. We
know where we were.
He's the mid-season Kevin Ogletree. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Kevin Ogletree. Except Kevin Ogletree did everything in the season opener.
Yes, I said yep. He's the midseason Kevin.
And people blew so much fab on him. Yep. I remember seeing 98% of my fab. I was like, oh, that's a mistake.
Yeah. Good for you, man. I'm very happy for you. I hope you feel good about it.
I've watched this team for years. You've made a giant mistake. I mean, and I think even though Rocky said he personally would not give up a first, I think the second he steps onto the field, that's what people are going to ask for. Whether they should or shouldn't, it, you know, is whatever. But I think that's what the price is going to end up being once he is healthy again. And, oh, he's back. You know, now it's a first. So I feel like the window was wide open a couple weeks ago.
I think I'd give the 112. Like, I mean, let's of course we don't know exactly that we're going to win or what the picks are, but he, even on an offense where he was clearly the third in line for targets, he was always super dependable in fantasy. So if he does become the two, I think that makes him even a little bit better. I mean, let's not forget, what was it, the end of his rookie year where it was just him and he was still kind of crushing, you know? So not to say he will go somewhere and automatically walk into a one and be awesome at it, because mm-hmm. who the hell knows, but I can see a world where I would feel okay sending a first. It would have to be like last year's champion who's undefeated still, like that kind of first. But yeah, I could see you, and I can really see a world where that's what it would take. Seeing that one in front of the draft pick number to actually acquire him. I don't know if that's a world I want to live in or a world we do live in, but I could see that world very clearly.
It should be interesting once the offseason gets here, because we've been hearing since the end of the 2021 draft that this draft class stinks out loud and you're not going to want anybody from this draft class. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see all of a sudden a lot of 110, 111, 112s from Michael Gallup deals, because people are afraid that, you know, oh, this draft class stinks. There's nobody good here. Let me get out of all these picks and get established players. So it might not happen during the season, but I can see maybe a week or two after the season ends, people seeing their draft slot and going, oh God, I don't know who this guy is. I don't like him. 2023 is supposed to be way better. Let me just get a guy and move on. So,
yeah, I've been talking to Kane Fasal a lot lately, and he said that there's just going to be so many wide receivers, like from the end of the first all the way through the second. I think I'm going to end up with a lot of draft picks at the end of the first through the entire second. I love me some shiny new wide receivers. I'm just saying. I don't have Michael Gallup, but oh man, I'd be selling him for those. Okay, that is our listener question. So let's get into our Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues, our 12-team super flex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception, 0.05 points. That was fast for a return yardage, because there are no TA1 trades, but we do have TA2 trades. And two of them are me. This first one, right off the heels of Derrick Henry breaking his foot, I traded Derrick Henry for Darrell Henderson. And I felt good about it. I felt good about it. Like, I saw it, and I don't... Actually, the very funny story is I hit reject by accident. Like, I went to go and approve it. It was me and Jerry, I think it was. And, like, I sent it back. I'm like, no, dude, I hit the wrong button. My bad. I meant to accept it. And, of course, he made me sweat. It was, like, 20 minutes before he accepted it. But, no, I absolutely felt good about it, because TA2, I'm insanely competing. You know, my team's very good. I lost by 0.39 points to Brian frickin' Haar. And last year in the playoffs, which he wonderfully teased me about today on Twitter. Love you, Brian.
Never forget that number, will you?
Our hands. And yeah, so first I want to talk about Darrell Henderson for a second. This season alone, it is clear he is a workhorse back. And let's talk about next season for a second. If the Rams didn't think that Henderson was capable of doing what he's doing now, they would have gotten someone better than Sony Michel, or just got more players
you know, just other people to rotate in for the hell of it, kind of like the Ravens did, you know. But they didn't. They're giving Henderson the ball, and he's going nuts with it every time he's, you know, every game he's healthy. And he's doing pretty well with it. So I think even if Akers does, well, Akers will come back. But if Akers come back close to what Akers was, I still think Henderson keeps a decent chunk of the ball. Will it be 50-50? Maybe not. Will it be 60-40 in terms for Akers 60, Henderson 40? Maybe. That would be pretty possible. And in an offense that can be as good as the Rams offense, for what Derrick Henry, a 28-ish year old running back coming off of a broken foot, to me, that still seems fair. Like, that seems even next year. What is Henry's value going to be next year? It can't be that great. I'm not going to lie. He was getting drafted in the fourth rounds of startups this year. And even though he was the far and away the running back one until he got hurt, it still wouldn't have gone up. I mean, let's call it what it is. He's a guy that barely catches the ball, even though he's been doing it a lot more this season. But he's still a 28-year-old running back. And just we refuse to just see what's in front of us and be okay with it.
And not only that, the chances of his production being what it was this year are very slim, I think. I mean, everyone wants to say...
for 3 years and
no,
it's still happening.
I know. He's ridiculous this year, but... I know that's what everyone wants to say. He's, you know, he's an outlier, and he is. But we also said he was indestructible, and then he missed 6 to 10 weeks. So I see the production going down from here. It has to go down at some point. He's not, you know, he's not going to be doing this. At,
I mean, he's not Frank
AP, Gore, 36 years old. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Frank Gore. So I think next year there's no way you're getting this league winning production. He'll be great. He'll be at least good. Yeah. I'm not even sure he'll be great because, you know, we'll see. But I just don't think he's going to be doing what he's doing this year.
Well, Derek,
would you feel good, though, if you had Henry on a competing team? Would you feel doing that swap for Henderson?
Oh, I love what he did. When I saw the trade, because I'm in TA2 with you, I saw that trade and I said, damn, that is great value for right now. Because, I mean, there are people who are like, well, maybe you can, you know, maybe you can get a second for Henry. Or like, well, if you're competing, why do you want the picks? Don't really matter. I mean, unless you're using them to get players anyway. So you got a guy who has just been, I mean, I almost want to say dominant this year. I mean, it's like he doesn't score you less than like 13 PPR points every week. You know, I know he missed a week or maybe two with a minor injury, but he's been in there for the most part and he has been scoring points. And he's not just a, he gets you between 13 and 15 points every week kind of guy. Like 13 is his floor, but his ceiling, we've seen it in games. It's pretty high. So, you know, you're not just getting a guy for this year. You're not getting an average running back. You're getting one of the better running backs in all of fantasy for this year. And it's great. And, you know, I always say, you know, Derrick Henry is like that new car you get when you're like 25. You're like, I'm going to ride this thing till the wheels fall off. And you drive that thing and you love that thing. But eventually you keep taking it to the shop and you get to a point where you're like, it's time to get a new car. I love this car. I've had great memories with this car, but I can't keep taking it to the shop every month. And I think that's what Tennessee did. They rode the car until the wheels literally fell off. And, you know, they're not, you know, I'm not saying they're going to release Derrick Henry or cut him or trade him or anything, but would you be shocked if they use a third round pick on a running back? Just a guy to say, hey, Derrick, we're not going to run you 28 times a game because.
I mean, they used a first round pick on Derrick, or it was an early second.
Early second
on Derrick Henry, and he sat for 2 years.
Yep.
Like, so yeah, 1,000%. You're absolutely right.
But you know, and we joked around yesterday about, you know, my prediction of DeAndre Swift to the Lions.
Son of a bitch.
but yeah, like, and I am no, you know, Kane or Ray or anything like that. But I listen a little bit and I dabble a little bit with the draft stuff and college players, and I think this year the third round is going to be the round that we see a lot of running backs come off the board, and Tennessee might be in that position, or even with a late second, they might start the run going into the third if they just go, listen, we're a good team. I mean, obviously they had a hell of a game against the Rams on Sunday night. You know, let's get a guy. Let's try to recreate, you know, what Dallas is doing with Zeke and Tony Pollard and what a lot of other teams are doing with the committee backfield where, you know, we're not running Derrick Henry 30 times a game. And we give this guy a break so that when the playoffs come, he's actually, you know, rested and he only has, you know, 300 carries instead of 425 carries. And, you know, especially with the 17 game season, I think they bring in some replacements, because as much as we all love AP, I mean, AP and Jeremy McNichols and Donta Foreman is just not a running back room after Derrick Henry that you want to go to war with.
Yeah, and I don't have much to add to what you guys said. I like to trade for you though as well. I'm a pretty big Henderson guy. I also have a Henderson trade that we're gonna get to later on, mm-hmm. on the sheet. So and I'm with you too. I think people are underestimating the value he'll have next year. I forget if I was on here, I mentioned it. I know I said it somewhere. It's kind of like what I was saying about James Robinson all off season this year, was that he might not, he's probably not going to be an RB1, just like I didn't think James Robinson was going to be an RB1 or anything like the way Henderson's producing now, but he's going to be a much bigger part of that offense, I think, than people think he's going to be, even if Cam Akers is close to 100%, which I still have, I know we've seen him running in videos and things, but I still have my doubts that he's going to be the Cam Akers everyone was expecting. I mean, I had my doubts that Cam Akers was going to be the Cam Akers everyone was expecting before he tore an Achilles. So yeah, I think he's going to be a much bigger part, and that it'll probably take from the two of them, but he'll still have value. He could still have potentially, I think, RB2 value next year, even if Cam Akers is up to speed.
Yeah, and just real quick, by the way, even with the missed game, I almost say Cam Akers because we just said his name so many times. Darrell Henderson, running back 11. Right. All right, let's move on. Next trade. Josh Jacobs and CJ Uzomah for Travis Etienne and Hunter Long. Whatever, man. I mean, whatever makes you happy. Like that. Like I sat here staring at this for a second, just like, honestly, I have such a complicated relationship with Josh Jacobs just because, like, there's what he could be, there's what he should have been, and there's clearly just what he is. And unfortunately, we're stuck with what he is and how he's used, and it's not what he could be or what he should be. And that makes me sad. But the problem is, I think ETN's going to be walked into that same situation where if he was put in the right place, in the right team, with the right coach, he shouldn't be an every down back, but like, I hate using, like, he could be used like Kamara, not to say he would be as good as him, but like, get him that 50-50 split with that Mark Ingram type, let him catch every single pass there is, and maybe that is what they use him and J-Rob for, but who the hell knows? I don't trust the Jaguars to do anything intelligent. So like I stared at this trade, it's just like, all right, cool. If you need points, you get Josh Jacobs and CJ Uzomah. If you don't, I guess ETN is worth the two of those, because it's not like Hunter Long is going to ever do anything.
Yeah. I've been pretty vocal about my ETN dislike. I don't want to say hate. It's not Zach Wilson levels here, but or Rojo. But Jacobs, I'm with you. He's a guy like for like 2 years I did not really like, because I felt everybody was valuing him as an RB1. And now everyone stopped doing that, and he's good for what he is. I'd rather have I trust Josh Jacobs more than I trust Travis Etienne going forward. He's going to get more volume than Etienne is. He's not going to have the PPR stuff, but he gets a few passes here and there. And he's always going to be the goal line guy. And it's not like he can't catch the pass. I mean, if any, you know, if maybe when they get a new coach next year, because I don't think they're sticking with the interim guy. Maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe they win the Super Bowl. I don't know. But but assuming they get a new coach next year, maybe they'll realize Josh Jacobs can actually catch passes and let him play a little more. But I just trust him more than ETN. And like you said, Hunter Long doesn't make a difference. So I'll take, you know, free CJ Uzomah.
Yeah, I saw this trade and I was like, wow, this is easy. Josh Jacobs and CJ Uzomah. I mean, I know a lot of people disliked Travis Etienne, and I think it was more just for the fact that he was a first round running back taken by the Jaguars and everybody loved James Robinson. And I think that's where a lot of the hate stemmed from, not really him as a player, but he went down with a Liz Frank injury. And I'm going to preface this by saying not a doctor, but obviously he's done for this season. And we've seen guys like Julio Jones and Dez Bryant try to come back from this Liz Frank. And usually their first season back isn't very good. They're kind of still working it back and trying to get over the surgery and the rehab and all that stuff. So if that holds true, now we've already missed two seasons of Travis Etienne and he's already halfway through his rookie contract. A new coaching staff comes in. What do they think about him? You know, and that worries me about the future of Travis Etienne and Josh Jacobs. You know, we talk about Josh Jacobs and people not realizing he can actually catch the ball. Weird concept because that's what he did at Alabama. But since week four, I just looked this up. He has between 3 and 5 targets in every game except for one. So from week four to week nine, there is a bye week thrown in there. But he has 3 to 5 targets in every game. So it seems like the Raiders are starting to figure out that maybe he can catch the ball. And, you know, I mentioned it earlier. What if Kellen Moore is the guy that goes to Vegas? I mean, I think Kellen Moore is going to figure out pretty quick. Oh, yeah, Josh Jacobs can catch a football. Okay, cool. Let's do that a little bit. And hopefully that increases his value. But I think no matter what, even if he is just a, you know, a running back that only rushes the ball, he'll still have more value than Travis Etienne. And then I'm with you, Russ. Hunter Long, who cares? And CJ Uzomah, he's a nice guy to just have on the bench, bye week fill in. Maybe he'll catch you a long touchdown because that's what the Bengals seem to want to do with them. And, you know, you'll be all right. But yeah, I thought it was pretty much a smash because both players on the Jacobs side are better than both players on the ETN side.
All right. Michael Pittman, Mike Williams, and a 22 second for DK Metcalf and a 23 third. Oh, man. Okay, so let me explain. I have no explanation. I was bored and we had a random opening in the league and we had a new owner and I wanted to throw a trade out. And this was before this Sunday. I threw it out and I probably should have pulled it back after Mike Williams went another game with, he has 3 games in a row with 2 catches for like 20 yards. And the last 2 games have been on 5 targets, 5 targets, 2 catches, 20 something yards. I probably should have pulled it back. I don't care. I love Mike Williams. I'm going to let it go anyway. But I do love me some Michael Pittman, and that's what really what this comes down to. Yeah, no, DK Metcalf is going to win this trade in every way, shape, or form. This is me being bored and wanting to just trade with the new guy. Shout out, Antonio. Love you, buddy. But I am on the Michael Pittman train. I think he's really good, and I think Wentz really likes him. And I think the Colts are going to get another wide receiver before next season, and I don't care because I don't think it's going to be another Pittman-like guy. I really think they're going to find a wide receiver too because Hilton's washed. They tried with Paris Campbell. It's just not going to happen. They tried with – oh, man, I'm completely blanking. They had another slot guy that ended up just getting hurt, and it never happened anyway. But – still, like, I just I'm completely on the Pittman bandwagon. I am ready for him to be a dude, and he's there. Like, he has, I think it was like 6 less points than DK Metcalf on the season.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I can see why most people would say DK. I actually did. I voted. I think Jerry, I'm assuming, put out the under the Trade Addicts Twitter handle, put out a poll, and I voted the Pittman side. I love Pittman, and I can see Pittman being on par production wise, maybe slightly less, but getting Mike Williams and a pick upgrade is enough for me to drive. I don't put DK Metcalf. I know he's young. I know he's produced, but I don't put him in that tier that we were talking about earlier. So, and Pittman is what? Isn't he like wide receiver 11 or 12 at this point? Which, like you said, is not far off of DK. So, and I can see that going forward. And like you said, if they get another receiver, like we talked about earlier, that could make this offense better, which could help Pittman even more. So,
okay, well, the Seahawks had their bye this week, but and that makes Pittman wide receiver 8 and DK wide receiver 9 with a 1.6 points between them. But in the average, because one less game played, DK is 18.1 points per game. Pittman is 16.3.
Yeah, so you're losing 2 points a game at probably the most replaceable position in fantasy. So yeah, I'll take the extra pieces and drop down from DK to another guy that's really, really good, is showing it now, and is also very young. I like your side.
So it's funny. I saw this trade, and I thought that I was going to be the only person on the Mike Williams and Pittman side. So it ended up being good because I had a bunch of defenses planned for why the DK side is better. So I don't have to throw them all out now. But I think the only thing that can limit Michael Pittman is quarterback play. And Carson Wentz has been playing really well. Yes. Yeah, he had the weird end zone pick 6. And then Matt Stafford did the same thing on Sunday. It was kind of funny. It was like the same exact thing almost. But Carson Wentz has played really well. And if the whole narrative that we talked about in the offseason is actually coming true, that Frank Reich and just being away from Philly in a new situation with a guy he knows and knows kind of how to work with and build an offensive round is starting to come to fruition. I mean, as the great Michael Jordan would say, the ceiling is the roof with Michael Pittman. And I will be the first person to raise my hand and say I was wrong on Michael Pittman, the player. I didn't see what other people saw. But I'm learning the errors of my way watching him play. He is a beast, man. He can do anything. Some of these catches that he's making, I'm just like, but how? And yes, we can say all the same things about DK, but what if, and Russ and I, we were talking about this yesterday, what if this is the last season for Russ in Seattle? What if the front office says, listen, we tried chopping you last year.
Jalen Hurts and 2 firsts for Russell Wilson. Let's do it,
Eagles, baby.
Yeah, and then
me and Russ both want that trade.
And then
it would be so much fun in Seattle. It won't be good. Don't get me wrong, but it would be fun.
Then Jalen Hurts all of a sudden is throwing passes to DK Metcalf instead of Russ Wilson. Now, you know, we're looking at, but no, I think they're very similar players. And then you're getting Mike Williams, who he's not been good the last couple of weeks. But if we can maybe find the middle with Mike That's Williams from the first 5-6 weeks of pure dominance and the last 2 or 3 weeks of pure whatever the opposite of dominance is. Yeah, it really has been anything good. Then Mike Williams is a nice player to have on your team. Bye week fill-in, you know, flex guy when you need him, type player. And then you're also getting the better pick on top of it. So yeah, I love this trade for you. I hate that you're building a super team, but I do have a Melvin Gordon and TA2 with your name on it. So just come on down.
I got a second to throw at you now.
Listen, we're almost there. We're already halfway there. You know, like Bon Jovi, we're living on a prayer here with Melvin Gordon. But yeah, no, love this trade for you. This is another one that, along with the Darrell Henderson trade, that you just knocked out of the park. I love it for you and your team.
So sweet. I'm glad we brought you on here. All right, we jumped to TA7, where we had a very similar trade with David Montgomery for Darrell Henderson. Now, I'm guessing this was you, Rock?
This was me, yes.
Yeah, same exact thing, except for the fact that, you know, Montgomery isn't out for the rest of the season. So I'm honestly a little shocked that we're seeing, well, Rocky is seeing so much less Khalil Herbert because I'm not watching the game. But like, he was doing really, really well. And we only really, really liked Montgomery mostly because of that volume. Like, he was better this year than he was 2 years ago, because, you know, the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season last year, we know what happened. He went nuts. Mm-hmm. But before that, he was pretty mediocre. He just still had that volume. And I really was concerned that they would keep Herbert on the field just because, again, really, really well when he was on there. So I'm a little surprised that's not happening. But yeah, Darrell Henderson, like, this is fine to me, because I do firmly believe that Darrell Henderson this season will outscore Montgomery. Wow. Nice. Awesome. Okay. Like, Henderson's going to outscore Montgomery the rest of this season. I firmly believe that. And if we live in the world where it's a 50-50 split next year between Henderson and and Akers, and next year with a new front office and Montgomery being, what year was Montgomery again? 2019, 2020, 2021.
Yeah,
okay, so he still has one more year. Yeah. So he still has one more year on his contract, so it's not like he's a free agent now, but nothing's stopping them from drafting another running back, because if they do clear front office, there's nothing tied to Montgomery anymore. And so while he will still be on the team, I'm sure he'll still get touches, he's not going to walk into the 80-90% that he's had in the past. So I'm super on board with this as well.
That's kind of what it came down to me. It actually came about, Hurley, it actually made me an offer for Watson that I have. I have Watson that involved sending me Henderson, and I didn't want to move Watson really anyway, cheap. And I know that he had, in another deal we had done before, he had tried to get Montgomery, and I think I ended up sending him CEH in that deal. So I thought, okay, let me try this. And so I basically, for the same reasons that you were saying, and partially I was worried about Herbert, which doesn't seem to be bearing out. It's now touch-wise, it's 15-4, including catches, Montgomery versus Herbert in this game, or in the about 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So I was worried about that. I'm also worried about the quality of the offense, especially for this year. With Matt Nagy, they have 13 offensive points in this game. They just scored a return touchdown, but yeah, so
of course they did.
But yeah, so, and Henderson, like we said, we've talked about him multiple times on the show now. So I love him for this year. I love that Stafford offense. They're going to score a bunch of touchdowns. He's the goal line guy. He's the pass catching guy. They barely use Sony, so. Yeah, I liked it for this year. And he also has a pretty nice schedule going down the stretch. I think especially two of his last three games in the playoffs are really nice. I don't remember who they are off the top of my head, but that's we talked about this before too. That's what I'm going to need in that league, because there's like two or three super teams in TA7. So, and I'm one of the few, I'm like the only team that's not rebuilding or like really, 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 really good. So I'm going to need help in the playoffs with matchups, and hoping somebody and one of the other teams I face has a down matchup, because I'm pretty much a lock for the playoffs. But I also right now probably look like a lock to go out in the first or second round at best. So maybe his playoff matchups will help me, and somebody else will have a down week. So I just like Henderson more than Monty for this season. And I don't think anything's guaranteed for either of them next year. Montgomery probably right now looks like the better bet for 2022 right now, but that could change, like you said.
Yeah, so Rocky, kind of on the point you were making about end-of-season schedule, Darrell Henderson has Seattle at home, at Minnesota, at Baltimore, the last 3 weeks of what would be the fantasy playoffs in most leagues, unless you're doing a week 18 and don't do that. But yeah, so those are his last three games, and there's no matchup there that I'm truly worried about having to sit Darrell Henderson due to matchup. So I love that. But I mean, Darrell Henderson, what are there maybe 10 running backs that you for sure would say, I will not make that trade? And everyone else is kind of like, yeah, if you're trying to win, look at what Darrell Henderson is doing, and why wouldn't you at least consider it? You know, we talked about Khalil Herbert here, and obviously it looks like he is not going to get any kind of significant workload, but Matt Nagy's gone. I mean, unless he pulls a miracle out of his hat and he makes the playoffs and wins a playoff game, which the way they're playing, I can't even imagine that. But week 9 happens, so I have to, you know, I have to imagine every possibility now. He's gone. And, you know, let me bring him up again. What if Kellen Moore goes there? But I mean, I also think like Joe Brady from Carolina is going to be a hot prospect, you know. The offensive coordinator from Kansas City, whose name I am totally blanking on.
The enemy.
You know, I mean, I know the offense has been very not Chief-like.
Yeah, but the enemy's been a big name for the past 3 years, and for some reason hasn't, because the Chiefs are, you know, still playing too late. That's like the biggest reason the enemy hasn't had a job lately.
Well, and there was an article that also came out about that says like he is looking for like the right situation.
I mean, good for him. Yeah, you don't walk away from the Chiefs for the hell of it,
right? I'm gonna go coach the Bears. Well, okay. Well, now you are where you are 3 years later because you were not selective in the process. But so yeah, like Darrell Henderson. I mean. Khalil Herbert could be a thing next year where it's like, hey, we have a new head coach who realizes, again, kind of Derrick Henry, you know, we don't want him to have 25 to 28 touches a game because players are going to get injured that way. And we're going to mix in a little bit more Khalil Herbert. You know, we're going to do this. And then all of a sudden, you know, so there's a lot of ways where you can definitely, as Russ said earlier, you know, you love him because of the volume, but if the volume all of a sudden, you know, goes from 20 to 23 touches a game down to 15 to 18 touches a game, yikes, all of a sudden we've lost a lot of that volume and he's not the same guy. So it'll be interesting to see, but yeah, I'm in the camp that like the top 10 guys, it's a no-go. And everyone after that is like, yeah, I can see a situation why you would want Darrell in, and, you know, if you're making the run, if you're going for a championship, I can totally see it.
All right. So we had a few more on here that were super boring, so we're just going to skip over them, and which means we have one left. It is Trade Addicts 9, and it was part of an outhouse challenge. Man, Trade Addicts 9, like, this team was so good, and then I lost all three of my tight ends, and I think I have Juju on that team. Like, I have him on a lot of my team. Like, it just – Rocky pointed out that I think I'm still fourth in scoring, but, like, I hate the team is what it comes down to. I'm angry at it. So I do an outhouse challenge where, again, is people – I let everyone know that this is happening. They send me a trade. I post the poll on Twitter, and if the – side that was coming to me wins the poll, I accept the trade. This has not worked in my favor many, many times. I'm gonna throw it out there. This time it wasn't too bad. The first one that went through was Jeremy McNichols and Emmanuel Sanders for a second, and I got the second, and I saw that go through and I'm like, yeah, it's gonna win and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
that's fine, whatever, cool. I'll get something for a second that's better than Manny Sanders and Jeremy McNichols, and that's fine if that's what I want to do. But this next one that came through, I was conflicted about when it did, unlike most of them, which were just complete and utter trash. Sorry, TA9, do better. But including Rocky, I'm sorry, nuking a third for Zeke just ain't happening, man.
Yeah, I tried.
Yeah, you didn't try. That's the problem.
I was at, I was working, and you gave a 4:30 deadline. I didn't have time to look at it. I was pushing buttons.
I was going out after work, and I didn't really feel like doing that while I was going out. But the trade that did go through was Amari Cooper and a 23-second for Nick Chubb. Now, honestly, I was a little surprised at this because it really seemed like a good trade. Like that's something like I probably might have accepted if it was just sent to me in general. Mostly because I don't have any Nick Chubb shares and I like him a lot. And also because I want to win, and that's you usually do that with running backs, and he scored 30 points this week, which was nice. But so that, yeah, and I wish I wrote, I never remember to write down the ending of the polls like on these sheets, like when we do it, because I feel like that matters a little bit. But do you guys agree with Twitter? Like, if you saw, what did you guys vote for? Because Rocky, I'm sure you saw it, I'm sure you voted. Which side did you vote for?
I voted for Amari in the 23-second. Which isn't that the side you got, or did you get the Chubb side?
I got Chubb.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I liked Amari in the 23-second. I like Chubb, but I think he's a little overvalued because he's so good in real life.
Yes.
And we overestimate
1,000%, yes.
Yeah, his fantasy value, because he doesn't catch enough passes. I don't think he did much, if at all, this week, even, you know, with no Hunt and him back healthy. You know, when he has a week like he has this week where he runs, you know, super long runs and gets a couple touchdowns, he looks great. But I don't think I have any in Dynasty. I know a roster I'm in a redraft league, and I've had many a week where he's awesome and has like 17 carries for 98 yards and gets me 9.8 points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. two catches for 26 yards this week.
Okay. So,
but also
not bad,
137 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was great this week. But yeah. So I think he could do more in the passing game. But in terms of what he actually ends up producing most of the time, he's sort of, Derrick Henry light with more down weeks than I think Derrick Henry usually has. So,
yeah.
And I like Amari. Like we kind of talked about earlier, you get the second. I just prefer to have the receiver and get a pick out of it. I think they're fairly comparable points wise. Chubb will have more boom weeks than I think Amari will, but I think Amari will have a better floor. So that's what I went with.
Yeah, so Nick Chubb has 8 receptions on the season.
Just oh no, that's so bad.
He did miss a couple games, right?
He missed 2 games, but yeah. In the other 7 games that he's played in, he has 8 receptions.
8, yeah.
So that is a tick against Nick Chubb, but I still like Nick Chubb here. I mean, yes, he will never catch passes, and I think that's just a product more of Kareem Hunt being around and that, but he is so good. And yeah, he's going to give you the, you know, like you said, Rocky, you know, 98 yards, 9.8 points, and that's all you get out of him. But man, he has some really good games. I'm kind of looking at a game log of his, and it's like 15 for 83 with 2 touchdowns, 11 for 95 and a touchdown. Then he gives you one of those Rocky games to 22 for 84, and that's it.
Yeah.
21 receptions for 100 yards, 21 attempts for 100 yards, 21
That'd
for
be a really
one,
good game.
Yeah. 21 for 161 and 1. And then here we go, 16 for 61, and then 14 for 137 and 2 touchdowns. So he does splash in those bad games, but I think it's actually funny that we're using Amari Cooper to talk about a boom bust player, because Amari Cooper was the boom bust player until he got to Dallas. That was the whole knock on him, is that he gives you 3 good games a season and ends up wide receiver 11 because all those games were like 40 point games. But I love Nick Chubb, so I am going to say that I have loved Nick Chubb since he was drafted, and I love Coop, but it's not the same kind of love that I have for Nick Chubb. And let's face it, we've seen all of the zero RB truthers come out this year. You need running backs. You need as many as you can get, because they're going to get hurt. Hey, Nick Chubb was one of them. He was out for 2 weeks, but you need a stockpile of running backs if you're going for a championship, because you never know when one is going to go down. So give me Nick Chubb. I love him. And that's actually a pretty good outhouse challenge. But I think you lost, just because I've seen on Twitter you can get Nick Chubb for a first and a third, and that's a 2023. Yeah. So I'm just saying, it's what I've seen on Twitter. So you may have had to give up a little bit too much, but it's fine. You still got a great player.
But by the way, since you mentioned it, Nick Chubb got 67.8% of the vote to Amari's 32.2%.
Smart people.
That's not bad.
Smart people out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that is going to be the end of our show. And thank you, Josh, for coming on. It was so gosh darn cool to finally see you people in person and give you guys hugs, because we've been doing it virtually for 4 years now. But finally, I could say we did it in person.
Very happy to finally get my outhouse hug.
It was everything I hoped it would be.
Yes.
And I hope we do it again, and just not too soon. Well, no, we could do it again soon if you guys come to New Jersey.
Come to New Jersey, yeah.
Hey, listen, if you win HQ1, I will drive the belt to your house. We'll go out and have a couple of drinks and celebrate your win, because if you make me ship that thing to Norway or wherever the hell Manolo is, I'm going to be so pissed off.
Denmark, calm down, buddy.
they're next to each other.
Oh man, and I will wear that belt while we drink when that happens.
That's fine.
We'll get Shane down here also. I'll make Jeremy and Sipes come up here too for the hell of it. But thank you everyone for, this was sort of a live show, so check it out on YouTube if you're bored, even though if you're at this point in the show, you listened to it already. So now saying check it out on YouTube doesn't really help anybody. But if you do so happen to see this on YouTube and you enjoyed watching us while we were streaming, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you can do this every week. Watch us as we stream, jump in the chat, say a couple of things, make me laugh, make me forget what I'm supposed to say, which happens a lot of the freaking time. Or for a while, like Damien was in our chat, just made me look dumb because he would always say things that I was saying wrong and making me look bad. Jerk. No, just kidding. I love you, buddy. Also, you could be part of the Cool Kids Club, our awesome chat on GroupMe, where there are just so many cool, awesome, and smart people. Also, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, where you can get shirts from all of your favorite podcasts of people that were too lazy to create their own store. But also, I didn't even give Fantasy Timeline an option. I'm just like, guys, I'm going to put your logo on a t-shirt and a sticker because I want them.
We were fine with it. You didn't have to convince us.
Yep. And that's what happened. So, and also we still have all of our Scott Fishbowl stuff up on there. Every single penny that comes in from that store is, he's wearing his Fantasy Cares. What was it? I can't remember what I did the Warped Tour as. I had so much fun making the names for them.
Oh, yeah, I forgot what the actual name of it was, but yeah.
It's something Trek instead of Tor. Yeah. I can't remember what I did for Warped. But yeah, every single penny that comes in will go to Fantasy Cares. So complete donation. Get yourself some awesome stuff. Get some kids some awesome stuff for the holidays. But on that note, Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse, Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict, Trade Addicts at Trade Addicts Pod, at DAP_network. DLF family of podcasts, subscribe, rate, review, stuff that I'm supposed to say because I'm a podcast host. And good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ. Guys.